What is up, all you people out there? This is Toffee Blues USA, your source for all things ever American style. I am Jerry, coming to you recorded from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and joining me is a familiar face if you're watching, and a familiar voice as you're listening. We've got Jeff Wallner back with us again. Jeff, it's good to talk to you, man.
Jerry, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate you having me back.
Hey, anytime, any Jeff time, I'm a fan. So for those of you who, if this is your first Jeff experience, welcome. Soak it in. Just saying. All right. And Jeff is part of the Cincinnati Toffees supporter group. He's one of our many, many, I mean, we just talked to like all the Cincinnati Everton fans, which I'm a big, yeah. Who knew?
Had a
who
few
knew?
On, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's awesome. So Jeff just popped on. He's going from like one Zoom call to another Zoom call. He's a guy in high demand.
So I overbooked myself tonight. I double booked on a Thursday night.
Hey, you know what? I mean, if you can't double book on it, that's a popular time to double book, I think, because everybody thinks that right. That's covered. Oh, I'm free. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. So what did you have going on before this? If I'm going to be like super nosy.
Well, it was Everton related, so it's appropriate. I was fortunate enough to join a call with a supporters group leadership from around North America. And we were fortunate enough to be able to speak to Jurgen Manka, who just joined Everton to head up their international strategy to grow Everton support and build the Everton brand worldwide. We also had Scott McLeod on the Zoom call with us as well. And for those that don't know, Scott is the head of Everton fan engagement for the club. So he was kind enough to join the call after midnight his time and hang on until approaching 1 a.m. So we thanked him for that. But a great discussion about Everton's, and I'll say new, Everton's new kind of approach and strategy to really reach beyond the confines of Goodison Park and of L4, and to expand the club's brand their support globally with the academies and building the supporters groups and just everything that's attached to that. So a lot of exciting things going on with that. And we were able to kind of pick their brain and learn from them, but they also took a lot of ideas from us as well. So again, that's what's great about our club, right? It's the way our club connects with their fan base worldwide. And that's something that makes us unique. One of many things that makes Everton Football Club unique. It was a great conversation, and it was still going when I came over here, so I'll have to.
Oh, I didn't mean to cut you short, Jeff.
Oh, no. No, equal time, Jerry, equal time.
So did you, I'm always curious about like, did you get to ask questions? Did you have any Jeff questions?
Oh, it was very, this was a collaboration. It was a collaborative call. It was a discussion between all parties. We probably had maybe, I'd say 20 or 25 supporters groups leaders. Tony Sampson, of course, was on the call. And we had Jurgen as well and Scott. So this was a collaboration. It was very much an open discussion. Very productive, very interesting, and also very encouraging and exciting as well, just kind of hearing how committed they are to growing support, particularly here in North America.
I guess what I meant was whenever there's a Zoom call with that many people, like personally, I would be a lurker. I know it. I know I would lurk. I would sit there and just be quiet and just go, just listen to everybody else.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure, like based on your personality, I mean, you're a journalist You know what I mean? And I feel like you would probably have some pretty intriguing questions. I just wasn't sure if you got any, if you were one of those people who likes to lurk, or do you contribute to discussions a lot of times in these?
I tend to speak up, and I try to be careful because I have a tendency to get a little overly enthusiastic, and I'll kind of talk. I tend to talk over people at times. That's one of those things that it's a pet peeve of mine, but I also do it myself. So I have to be careful of that. So yes, I did. I jumped in, but not ahead of anyone else, but I did jump in a few times. So.
It's really hard when we have these Zoom conversations too, though, because it's like the easiest thing in the world to accidentally talk on top of somebody. You know what I mean? Because there's a delay. Almost always, there's that delay of information. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I catch myself doing it like every single show. And I'm like, ha! You know, or I start a sentence and they're continuing like halfway through. And everybody's like, Jerry, what are you doing? Like, I didn't know. Yeah, that's why it happens. But yeah, so that's... Right. I could totally see Jeff having a lot to contribute for the right reasons, Jeff. You know, for all the right reasons. That's yeah. Yes. So is there anything in particular that it sounds like you've given a nice summary of what the meeting was about or anything. Is there anything at all that specifically where you can say, here's a nugget of information you're allowed to hear? Or was it a lot of it more just behind the scenes, like, hey, this is between us? I'm always curious about these meetings, Jeff.
There's no real news to break.
Okay.
No real news to break. Also nothing that's really being, it was all kind of big picture, mm-hmm. looking ahead, a lot of strategy and a lot of thoughts on just how Everton's kind of approaching this, because this is a rather new initiative to expand globally. I didn't ask this on the call, but I think a big impetus for this is just the reaction the club has seen in Colombia with the signing of James. And, yeah. And I think that was the big wake up call. You know, I think when Tim Howard was with the club, and we could go on and on about that, but when Tim Howard was with the club, I think, you know, Everton missed an opportunity there. But at that time, the philosophy of the club was a lot different. And we love that Everton is a provincial club. I've brought it up many, many times. It's one of the reasons that I was drawn to Everton, is their connection to the city of Liverpool and the connection to their fans and everything that's entailed with that. But I think the new Everton is kind of stepping outside those borders, and they see the benefit to the club of expanding the academies and expanding the brand and the support and merchandising and everything else that kind of goes with that, to create new revenue streams and to grow talent, support, and just everything that you can take advantage of that's out there in the world, because it's a global sport. So you can't confine yourself to, right. You can't be a club that confine yourself just to your local city, or your immediate fan base. So yeah, it's exciting to see them doing all of this, and to kind of buy into that philosophy, because we're going to benefit here. We are, and I can tell you this, they've made it very clear that of all the areas of the globe that they're looking at, the United States is on the top of the list. It's the first priority, because they see what the supporters groups have done here already on their own. And I think now the club is ready to tap into that.
Awesome. So out of all these plans that are kind of, that have been introduced, what's the part of it where you're like most excited about? You know, is it those soccer schools that are going to be popping up all over, what part of it do you think, like, okay, this is the part that I'm most psyched about?
Well, I think I'm excited about one, and this is no big secret at this point, is that the club wants to get back here to play. They want to get back to the United States for a preseason tour. That is a priority for the club. It was in the planning stages before COVID hit. It will be in the planning stages as soon as we come out of this. And they've also made it clear that they want to maintain a presence, and that could be something as simple, as large as a preseason tour of matches and maybe a fan fest that's attached to that, or it could be something as simple as just club officials coming to one of the cities where they have an academy and having the opportunity to engage with supporters that are in that city. So I'm excited about all of it. I'm just excited mm-hmm. about the commitment the club has made clear to, and we saw it at Everton Live, that whole event, mm-hmm. and the commitment they had to making our ideas a reality during that, and the connection that they want to have with the fans here. And they also made it clear that, the Zoom calls are great, and they want to keep doing those because you can't just, hop on a plane right. and come thousands of miles all the time, but they want to do both. They made it clear that right. It's awesome. Virtual, but it's also face to face. So they want, Everton wants to have a presence here, whatever form that takes. They want to maintain a regular presence here. And that's exciting for anyone who supports Everton here in North America, and all the fans that will soon support Everton here in North America.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out how it would hurt. You know what I mean? When you're putting those kinds of efforts in, you can only make the numbers grow, you know? Yeah.
Correct.
This is awesome. This is very cool news.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Jeff, anything else about, I wanted to mention Jurgen Mienka. I want to make sure I say that right.
Mm-hmm.
Was watching a documentary with my sons the other day about Thierry Henry when he played for New York Red Bulls, playing in the MLS All-Star game. And it's like a short, like, I feel like it's only an hour long. And I was watching it with my family, and most of it's following Thierry Henry, like prepping for this game. And out of nowhere, there's this new Everton presence, Jurgen Mienka, like right there on the screen in this documentary. Because it was like the timing was so absurd. It was right after they had announced it. It was like a day later. I was like, what is this? You know, just the universe like poking at me going, hey, see that? Hey. It was great. Yeah. Because he was talking about the MLS All-Star game. Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize that until he mentioned it on the call, that he was employee number two for Inter Miami. Mm. He was employee number two. So he's basically sitting there with David Beckham, starting this whole thing from scratch.
Wow. Jeez.
It's really impressive. And you know, now this is the guy with his pedigree and experience. This is the guy who's heading up our international strategy. So that's very encouraging to have him on board.
Definitely. Especially if, clearly he was working with MLS in some fashion for some time before that, which he's going to know, right? He's going to know a lot about us.
Yeah.
Very cool. That is exciting. Good stuff. This is very cool. All right. Anything else you want to hit on with that? Or are we going to, I don't want to go on to the next thing. We're gonna go
to talk about matches. Wait. We have to talk about matches now.
Sorry, Jeff. let me get that out of the way. Oh, it came back. Damn. Boom. All right. So it's like pulling off a Band-Aid. Okay. We're gonna go really quick. Zip. Talk about Villa. It'll be done. It's just gonna be over, and it'll be okay. All right. So. Let's do this quickly. If you've been under a rock, I'm sorry. I'm still going to tell you the score. We lost 2-1 loss. I thought I was being pessimistic in predicting a draw last week. Who knew? That was optimism. Hey, so kind of a weird match in which we did, you know, there's the occasional good performance. Who do you feel like, you know, maybe didn't cover themselves in glory, but did themselves, you know, played well in that one?
that's difficult because I didn't nobody really nobody really stood out in that match. You know, DCL had a great goal. There were some other chances in there. I can't get Holgate's gaffe out of my head. Because once that happened, you're chasing the match the rest of the way, and it was tough enough losing James in warmups. But I agreed with everything that Carlos said after the match. And we've asked ourselves this question before, in many a match where we were in similar situations with the opportunity to climb the table. I don't know if it's a mental thing. I don't know if it's a culture thing, but in those situations, we're always left asking, how can you not come out and play with energy? How can you not come out and play with passion? How can there not be a level of urgency amongst the starting 11, from the top down? And it just wasn't. I felt like we were, now you give up the early goal, and that changes things, and that certainly factored into everything. But I felt like we were playing kind of in a panic. We were kind of chasing the match from that point on. We get the goal and you think something's going to change, and it really didn't. It's very frustrating. I would have to watch it again to answer your question, because off the top of my head, I really can't single out anybody.
I just watched it a little while ago with my family. Pickford was okay. Was okay. You know, I feel like he's gotten a little run here. I can't help but notice that I feel like Pickford, when he's got a lot of action, he tends to play a little better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I feel like his concentration picks up when he's having to be more active, which, oddly enough, this is seeing a good run of form for him when we're doing a lot of defend, and then maybe make a run up, you know, and because we're having to play it safe based on our available players, you know.
Is it fair to say that Jordan Pickford became England's number one because he played behind Everton's backline? In that he had week after week after week had an opportunity, numerous opportunities to make an incredible save because he was constantly left out on an island.
And before that, he was at Sunderland,
was a great
which is the same thing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right now we're dealing with that delay and we're both like, is the other person going to talk right now?
We all just needed to take a breath talking about the Aston Villa match.
It was just such a meh, you know. I watched that and I was like, meh, you know. It was just a shoulder shrug of a match, where, you know, I and DCL, I will say, it was great watching Ross Barkley lose his man. That was nice. I loved that, every second of that. I feel like we don't really see Godfrey have bad matches, you know. People who struggled, I feel like it's a little bit cliche to say it, but I thought our midfield, our center midfield pairing, didn't help the situation. of Gomez and Alan.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Gomez has been such an anomaly, such a great player before the injury, and then slow start after the injury, then had kind of a peak of form, but hasn't been really under Carlo. He really hasn't. He's not among the many guys who have kind of emerged and really improved under Carlo's tutelage. Andre Gomes is one of them that hasn't. I haven't really seen that from. So there are decisions to be made in the summer with that group. You have Yari Mina and you've got Gomes and Michael Keane, and you've got a lot of guys, but yeah, Gomes is one of those. We'll have to see what happens, but he's just not been, he consistently has just not been good. And when James isn't in there, the impact that James has on Alan, on everyone else on the pitch, it's just amazing how different a club we are when he's in there. And finally, you think we're finally going to have our starting 11 with no surprises. You know, we have the press conference, no surprises, right? Those are usually when they happen. You know, yeah. Somebody is fallen in training and tore their ACL, you know. Mm-hmm. You get through the press conference, and then the team news comes out. And of course, you know, you wait for that hour mark, and then you always cringe because you wait to see who got hurt within the 24 to 36 hours since the press conference.
Yeah.
And team news comes out, and you think, finally, we knew Decore was out. Yeah. We knew Jibamin was out. Finally, though, we have the 11 we expect, and within minutes, Hamas is walking off from warmups. You can't make it up, Jerry. You can't.
Yeah.
You just can't make it up. And you've trained all week with Hamas. You finally are getting some cohesiveness within the squad because you have everybody healthy finally. And you're going into this match, you feel like full bore. And this isn't an excuse, but you lose James Rodriguez within minutes of the match. There has to be an impact there.
Yeah.
Not an excuse, but it's just another instance where if we didn't have bad luck, we'd have none. So that was difficult. But that doesn't excuse some of the performances we saw out there. And I know Carlo didn't harp on that and didn't make that as an excuse. And what did you think of Carlo's response after the game? Because I think he's maintained a perspective throughout the season, as he should. He's taken the right approach. He's been patient. He's talked a lot about the project. We all understand how expansive the project is that he inherited. But did you find it interesting, Jerry, that after the match, it was really the first time he called his team on the carpet. He was not pleased with that performance. I think that's the first time this year we've really heard him kind of take that, where he was not pleased at all with their effort.
Yeah. I'm always fine with that when a manager comes out and does that, because I feel like everyone needs that. I feel like too often we've had managers where we get the exact same thing, the same script from them every single post game, even though the same thing has happened, they're telling us the same. Yes. Yes. You know, the same script that it echoes in my mind, you know, and it's
right.
It's refreshing for a manager to do it, but you don't want him to do it too much, right? We're talking about a coach, a manager, who is an excellent man manager, and he typically knows how to motivate. He knows that the players, you know, need that hand on their shoulder. And he's done a really good job with a lot of players in getting the best out of them, building their confidence up. I think he's had enough. I think he's irritated. I think he's a little ticked off that he has to watch us every single time we try to go for it. try to press forward and actually play not as safe, we leak goals, mm-hmm. right? And something that kills me, man, the we don't have a replacement for Decore. That is the thing I feel like has really messed up our season. I mm-hmm. see that as the biggest hole right now. Like, because if you have Decore in there, he can cover for a lot of these players that maybe don't have the speed as much, you know? And that is the thing. Like when Gbabing was coming in, like, and I was just like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? He's going to be healthy, right? As Decore is hurt. This is nuts, you know? Because those are our two like big time athletes that can cover ground. Right. Mm-hmm. And we just, oh man, but that's the thing that really gets me, but I'm fine with Carlo calling him out. Just, yeah. It gets to a certain point where it's a little old if he does it all the time. I also think it's motivation for the players. I think he's button pushing, you know, with the players.
Yeah, and you mentioned Decore. I think I underestimated – it wasn't until – it was – when he went down, my first thought was, how do we replace that work rate? How do we replace a guy who's willing to just run and run and run and run for 90 minutes? And then was the first match after the injury Chelsea? I don't know. Whatever the first match was after he went down, you watched us play, and it was at that point where I was thinking, how do we get through the rest of the season without him?
Yeah.
I wasn't nearly as worried. I was thinking after the news came out that there's a way we could kind of mix and match personnel. We could kind of, you know, have a few guys kind of fill that, you know, that void. But then watching us play without him the first time, it was so apparent how badly we missed him. And we could talk about our depth, but we knew that going into the season. You can't, we're not finished rebuilding our starting 11. We haven't really started on the depth. That's for this summer. So we knew going into the year that injuries were going to be the biggest concern. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to avoid them. And other clubs have injuries, but they hurt us much more than most other clubs because we don't have the depth.
And we've been – there are aspects of our injuries that have been fortunate because they haven't been – really like hard hitting, you know, but they've been like a few 2 months here, you know what I mean? 2 months there. It was always something that totally breaks a rhythm for us. Always broke a rhythm. Mm-hmm. And it was so, it's so hard to get over that, you know? So
think about
the injuries. We were talking about Jamez.
Yeah. We're talking about Jamez getting injured minutes before the match, but how many weeks, it was easily, was it 4 or maybe 5 weeks where we went into the week expecting Jamez to play or at least be available to play. Mm-hmm. And then the team news comes out at the end of the week and he's not. So that's hard enough for us as fans, but when you're training throughout the week and you're building a game plan to face an opponent and you don't know who's actually going to play. Now, maybe mm-hmm. it's just Carlo being coy and maybe they knew all along and they were training accordingly. You know, that's mm-hmm. possible. But there's so much uncertainty with like one or two or three guys every week. It's so difficult to prepare for matches and gain any kind of continuity with the squad that you're going to have because you don't know who the squad's going to be. It's almost easier if it would have been, okay, Jamez is going to be out for 6 weeks. Then you just turn the page and you prepare to play without Jamez. And over the course of a few matches, you kind of develop a way to deal with his absence. But that's not the way it's been for us. It'd almost be better if it was just, okay, you know, the guy's out, you got to figure it out. But we've had a lot of that this year. We've had the nagging injuries, and then we have guys that get hurt midweek. We have guys that get hurt the day before a match, mm-hmm. and it's just it's been difficult, but at the same time, somehow, some way, Carlo Ancelotti has kept us in the European conversation, and we're still in the European conversation somehow.
Yeah,
somehow. They can somehow win two matches in a row, although I don't feel good about this one. You can win. That's how tight all this is. You win two matches in a row, and all of a sudden you're right back in it.
It's a big swing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Man. Yeah. So, any other thoughts on this one? Do we feel okay to move on?
So we'll move on from a loss to Villa and then talk about our next match against a team that's in the Champions League conversation. But yeah, sure, fine. Yeah. Just keeps getting better, Jerry. Just keeps getting all better, right. Jerry.
Yeah, yeah. It's all right.
I'm not a gloom and doom guy either. I'm not a gloom and doom either. Guy, and I won't be. Like, if you want me to talk big picture about where I think, you know, Everton Football Club is right now, well, we're a lot better off than we were a year ago. We're a lot better off.
And I agree with you.
There's a lot of reasons for that. Not just our position in the table. There are a lot of reasons for that. We are much better off than we were last year. But
Oh yeah.
Right now it might not feel like it.
But right now it's a weird little time when it comes to watching a match, you know? Yeah. It's almost like you watch it and you're like, you know what? I just want to feel okay about myself when this is over. Is that possible? You know?
You know what? You watch these matches at Goodison and you watch us struggle at home. And it's not that we haven't struggled at home at times, even when Goodison is full, but I want Goodison full again. And yeah. I think that just would have made such a huge difference in so many of these home matches. And not just the fact that I want all my friends in Liverpool to have their tickets back and to be back in their seats, to be back in their wooden seats with no arms because they'd rather not be anywhere else, you know? I want Goodison full again, and I think it would make a huge difference. So we're still in that kind of weird kind of situation where it's a normal season. It's more normal than it was, you know, the end of last year, but it's still not quite yet normal. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about that last week, actually, the whole, seems like our away form is strong. There's no opposition fans to deal with. Right. And the home team doesn't have they're used to their own fans getting their back. And so, I feel like it's affecting a lot of teams' home form and a lot of teams' away form. It's really interesting to start seeing the effect that the supporters have on their teams. Mm-hmm. It's actually, to be honest with you, I think it's really fascinating. I would say it's kind of cool, mm-hmm. but I can't apply that to our home form, even though it's interesting information. So, all right. So we're going to move on. So I'll give you a choice. All right. Do you want to do mailbag or do you want to do the West Ham? Do you want to do West Ham away conversation?
We can do mailbag. Fire up mailbag.
Okay. Well, I am going to start. I'm going to check. Someone sent me Taffy Blues John. Sent me the questions from Instagram. I'll rattle off a couple of these. I don't think we can talk long about them. One of them, Aiden K. Nil or Aiden Nil, just says hi. Hi. It's not a question. It's just saying hi. So, Aiden, hi. There you go.
What's up, Aiden? Cheers. Cheers, mate.
So, there's that.
COVID, you know, in this COVID era, you just somebody saying hi is it, you know, it's a big deal. So
yeah,
it's like a virtual fist bump, right?
Yeah, yes. There you go. I think Aiden thought I was going to pass by that one, but I didn't. Just saying. so, real.shet, S-H-E-T, real shet.
I remember you have the best like name, like the mailbag names. You have some great ones.
And one of them did not give submit a question via the normal way. He submitted one on Twitter and used his real name. So we'll go. I'm going to finish with that one. Just saying. Okay. Real Shet asked, are you aware of Everton India fans? Okay. And I will go ahead and tell you, no, I do not know any Everton, Indian Evertonians. But as soon as I saw your question, I found an Everton India supporters group on Twitter and I followed them on Twitter. So, Real Shet.
Where are they?
Let me check. Let me see. Or it's a, you know what? I don't know if it's a supporters group or if it's a, or if it's just a Twitter group that has a lot of, you know, that's dedicated to Indian Evertonians.
And we're talking about the country of India.
Yes.
I haven't seen anything on social media about that, but yeah.
Okay. So they have this particular account has 468 followers and is followed by numerous North American support groups. It's called Everton in India. Okay. So I just want to throw that out there. No real shit. I was not familiar with a lot of Indian Evertonians. Now I'm forcing myself. I am following and I'm getting myself educated.
Well, I will, I'll just throw out that, you know, considering just hearing a lot of the reports of the COVID situation in India and them having difficult time getting that under control, that, hey, best to you, best to all the Toffees and everyone else in India who are, going through a difficult time right now from what I heard.
Yeah, thoughts with you folks, for real.
Evertonians all over the world. Is there a country where we don't have Evertonians? Is there? I don't think there is.
I'd be curious for someone to chime in and let us know about that country.
I need to tell Jurgen, don't forget about India.
Yes, that's right. All right, Real Shet is the reason.
Evertonians all over the world. Yep.
Very cool. Okay, so next question. Live Kane, or is that Live a Kane? I don't know. Asks, Isco or Coutinho? Now, we may not even have that choice, but let's pretend we live in that world. I don't know. Which one's for you, Jeff?
How old is Coutinho again?
28. I looked this up beforehand because I was curious too. Coutinho's 28 and Isco's 29.
Okay. Isco played for Carlo?
I believe he did. I believe there is a connection there.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
you asked all those questions to just say, I don't know. I love it.
people have a problem with Coutinho because of his former clubs. Do they?
I think some people might.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen the occasional person on the social media.
I thought I saw somebody mentioned on social media, and I'll have to look this up. I'm curious how many players have played for both clubs.
Yeah.
Be interesting to look up. I don't know whoever will help us. I know the Coutinho, it seems like the Coutinho rumor came up more recently.
It did.
Isco's been out there for a while. And maybe that's because of his connection to Carlo. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I'll take whoever helps us. You know, I didn't really think much about Ben Godfrey, and then look like how he turned out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I am going. Oh gosh, I don't feel like I've watched enough of either player lately because I don't think either one's been doing a lot of playing lately. But
yeah. I thought Coutinho was in his 30s. I don't know why I thought he was older, but I thought Coutinho was maybe in his, but he's 28.
Yeah, I looked it up. I was curious myself. Okay, if I have to answer that, like, honestly, I like Isco's personality, but immediately I got really excited about the possibility of Coutinho. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I feel like there may be something wrong with, no, I know there is, but something more wrong with me for thinking that maybe, I don't know. I like the idea of Coutinho because I feel like he's really flexible and can play a number of positions if he's hitting good form. I feel like that's the case. Which and I feel like Carlo wants that kind of person in the squad. And you know what, man? One of our big problems is James is great, but he's not durable. And we knew that when we signed him. And we knew we weren't going to get a straight out year. So we need somebody who can create like him, right? That's why either one of those players, I have a hunch would help us. But I just feel like I got an idea. I got something in my brain that makes me feel like Coutinho would be more durable. I guess because he's already played in the league. So that's just my opinion. Yeah. So the last question. I mean, there's some other questions that I don't really know how to answer. Like Luke Downward asks, why didn't Richarlison play Siggy on goal when the score was 1-1? Okay. I don't have an answer to that.
I still don't have an answer for, was it Richarlison that didn't play DCL? What match was that? Or was it the other way around?
I think it was Richarlison playing DCL.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So, I mean, I get your frustration, Luke_Downward. I'm with you. All I can tell you is Richarlison's a better football player than I am, and he probably has better reasons than I would be able to give you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I wish I could make up a reason like, well, Sigurdsson has been playing pranks on Richarlison in the locker room, so, you know, he like – froze his boots in a jello mold, and yeah. So
hey, were you saying Sigurdsson is playing? Yeah, he doesn't seem like a guy who would play pranks.
And that's what I mean. That's it's always the quiet ones, Jeff. Just saying.
Yeah.
So Luke Downward, there's your manufactured answer. It's because Richarlison is sick of Sigurdsson's foolishness. That's why.
Right. He's Sigurdsson's been hiding his NBA jerseys from him or something. So
said your pigeon dance doesn't look like an actual pigeon. Oh no. So next right. another one, somebody Sabi 141 talks about I guess it's Yves Bosuma, one of the best in the league in his position. I know we have Alan, but I'd love to have him. Hey, I'm with you. I think that player is awesome from Brighton. Great player. I like that guy. I liked him when we were rumored to be connected with him a few years ago. So yeah, I like him as well. I'd love to have him in there. I'd love to have another athletic pair of legs in there who can distribute and break up play. It'd be great.
Max Aarons.
That is a different, yeah. That's another player I would like. But and the last question that I've got from Instagram that I am supposed to, is from FFACKIU, which I suppose could be pronounced Fafakiu, asked, is there any news about Aguero? Wow. I just developed a nice little speech thing. Aguero or Coutinho. Any news about them? Not that I've heard that is substantial and believable yet. Yeah,
I mean, Aguero is going to be rumored to go everywhere. Free transfer, Sergio Aguero, free transfer.
That's like the lottery. Sorry, it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Aguero a lot. My 8-year-old was just like, do you think we're going to sign him? And I'm like, oh, there's no news, man. I don't know. Everybody's going to want him. But what if we did? I know. I want him too. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked Pep talking about Aguero after the match and after he had that great goal off the volley. And it was like listening to somebody like talk about their son. Like you could just see him, like his eyes, you know, lit up. He was talking about him. And then who had the story just this week? Somebody ran a story, a UK media outlet ran a story about Pep doesn't like respect or value Sergio Aguero anymore. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, that what sounds, are you talking about?
That's that, that sounds.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
I like him a lot, but I feel like he's going to want to get, want to go somewhere where he can get a little more consistent. He's going to want consistent playing time.
Right.
And I'm not completely sure exactly. I'd be curious how we're going to use him as well. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm not completely sure. I'm sure we'd figure it out, but I think there are some questions. There are. And I do think Calvert-Lewin is a danger to score every single time we have a corner or a double. It just is. So it's hard to put him on the bench with his pace and also what he does on 50-50s that are coming like goal kicks and everything. He's winning us the first ball often. So he just does a lot for our team. So,
yeah. On that corner, right before that corner, I commented that we didn't have Yerry Mina. We didn't have Keane in there. And I'm like, I said something like, where are the heads? And DCL goes up and redirects that ball. Fantastic goal. And, I think it was Jake Holton who actually just kind of turned around and looked at me. I'm like, I know. He's like, there's the head. Yeah, it was just a tremendous header.
Yeah, yeah.
Into his own under Carlo. The DCL, there's a guy that's come in to his own under Carlo. Absolutely. I mean, we've seen it coming, but yeah.
Yeah, I had a similar experience to you watching the match today. I was thinking to myself, they showed a close-up of Godfrey on that corner. And I was like, oh, they're showing the close-up of Godfrey because we don't have any big center back in there who's going to attack the header and get us a goal like this. Because no Keane, no Mina. I thought the same thing. And then who knew? Mm-hmm. Ross Barkley forgot he was part of a football match. And, you know, DCL was able to get up there and put it. And their keeper was really low. So, you know, we were lucky they had some slips, but it was still a really well-timed header. It was very nice. Cool. All right. So, next question. This is from Bowsy Toffee Tits, who did not go with it. That's the
question
one.
From them on another show, didn't okay.
All right. That's the one I was telling you about, man. So, He's been submitting via Twitter lately under the name Aaron Free. Aaron, thanks again. You're submitting awesome, thoughtful questions every single – it's almost every week now. So, awesome stuff. So, Aaron Free, a.k.a. Bowsy Toffee Tits, gives us two tweets worth of question. After the dismal display versus Villa, it was evident that the Andre Gomes, Alan – and the Godfrey Holgate partnerships were sort of a one-off against a poor Arsenal side. Do you think Keane and Mina should return and Godfrey move to the right for the next match? Interesting question. Also, should we do Davies ahead of Gomes? Gomes? All right. Alan was exposed far too often. He's very aggressive, which leaves a gap between midfield and defense. Do you agree that a transfer focus should be on a proper holding midfielder as well as the need for speed on the wings? And then he has a question, a follow-up question to that, and we'll get there for that. I'm holding that one. All right, so the questions are, number one, do you think Keane and Mina should return with Godfrey on the right for the next match?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I got to tell you, I like it. I wouldn't be completely opposed to Seamus Coleman over there, but I like the idea of Godfrey being in. He's good energy. Good energy. So, also, Tom Davies ahead of Andre Gomes?
Yes.
I agree, too. Bowsy Toffee Tits, Aaron Free, you are on a roll. We really not a lot of disagreement here. Next, do you agree that a transfer focus should be on a proper holding midfielder as well as need for speed on the wing?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Among other things, but yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do feel like not being in a position when a player like Decore gets injured, where we don't, to where we feel completely like naked. You know, having one player get hurt shouldn't change our entire style of play as much as it does. You know, one big injury. So I do think, I'm not sure if that's the main focus for me. Like I'm a big fan of a right back, the need for a right back. But we do have more makeshift right backs than we have makeshift center mids that can cover for Decore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're talking about more of a midfielder like Alon, I feel like Tom Davies is not too a similar type of player as Alon. You know, so you almost have, and I don't know if they're like for like necessarily, but they're more similar than Decore is to anyone else.
Of the three new signings that have gone down to injury, Alon was the easiest to replace. Is that fair to say?
I agree, dude.
Well, I mean, it would be, because we're really struggling without Decore, and we see what James's impact is.
Yeah.
And that's nothing taking away. That's not taking away anything from Alon. I just think we have Tom Davies, and we have ways to kind of cover Alon. We don't have a replacement for what Decore brings, and we don't have a replacement for what James brings.
Very true. I'm in agreement with that. What about some speed on the wings? We need speed.
We need speed everywhere. We're such a stagnant club, and part of that is just appearing to be kind of unsure of ourselves with the ball. We don't seem to be comfortable with the different combinations of players that we've had, but man, we just move at just a molasses pace. We don't pass the ball decisively and quick. We're always taking that extra touch to kind of consider what we're doing. We're not anticipating our next move before we get the ball. We just aren't a quick, decisive club. I watch us play and I'm always like, go, like move, pass the ball, move. You know, they do it in training. You know, in training, it's probably like boom, 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 boom. And they get into a game and they get the ball at their feet and they take an extra touch. And we need speed. We need speed and decisiveness. I want to watch us be dynamic and fast. So yeah, it's just speed. And that's not just running speed, just speed with the ball, speed with our decisions. We just need to become a faster club. I think that's a major issue for us.
Yeah. I put that speed in like a several categories, the way you're describing it. You know, I look at speed on the wings, but without a little more speed in the middle, every single time we go forward, we're going to get exposed on the way back. Right. So we need that Decore type player to make sure we don't get exposed when we use that speed going forward. Also, we need players that have the speed of thought. Okay. Because that's another part of this. Somebody who's going to be when the ball's coming to them, they are immediately, they have ideas about where in the world they're going to go. If there's too, you're right. We're deciding what we're going to do after we get the ball far too often.
Yeah. And which is exactly what Holgate did in that instance. Mm-hmm. He gets the ball. He had decided what he was going to do. And in a split second, he changes his mind. He starts to take a touch forward. He changes his mind. Then he turns the wrong way and he gets himself in a horrible position, gives the ball away, and it leads to an easy goal. Yeah. Just because of that decision-making, that anticipation with the ball. And it led to a goal and completely changed that match. Not that a point would have done us any good, but still, I think it's a totally different match if you don't give up that early goal. It's a totally different, that mistake kind of set. It was tough enough not having James in there, but when Holgate makes that mistake, and yeah.
And I heard some
our manager is Carlo Ancelotti. This has got to be, this is not what Carlo Ancelotti is teaching his players in training. So,
and I heard some people kind of arguing about saying that Holgate didn't have a lot of options. I got to be honest. I watched that replay of that goal, and I saw Andre Gomes was checking, and he did have an opening to be able to feed it to him if he wanted to. Okay? It was available. Right. There was a window. No one was covering that lane completely.
Right. If he would have made that decision before he gets the ball, it's yeah.
Yeah.
Or just turn the right, you know, turn the right way. I think he turns, I'd have to watch it again. If he turned the other way, I don't think he gets himself in that position, but he turned toward the defender, and the defender just, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, Bowsy Toffee Tits, Aaron Free. Aaron, good questions. You sound like a big bag of right tonight. Okay. Congratulations. Pretty much we're all in. Send us all the questions you got. We're probably going to agree with whatever you got. sound pretty rational to us. Last question from Aaron, by the way. Speaking of wings, boneless or bone in?
I'm not a big wings person, but when I am, boneless.
I'm a
Somebody in Buffalo is just threw something at their computer.
It's okay. I'll cover it. We're covering the whole nation here. You say boneless, I said bone in. Everyone's covered. It's cool.
Yeah. I just don't like the work. I wanted just to be able to take it, you know, dip it or just bite into it, not have to eat around something. I'm just lazy.
I don't know. For me, it's a flavor thing. I feel like it's more flavorful with the bone in. And you know what? I'm a huge fan of messy food. And just all over, just the whole face, hands, I just let it happen, and I'm an absolute embarrassment. But I like it.
Yeah, my OCD does not allow me to do that.
Oh, I have to take a pickup shower, you know, like a really, really quick shower in the bathroom and over myself, you know, it has to happen, you know, cause I don't like driving home and smelling wing sauce. No, I don't, but you know, so.
I still laugh about when my son was, basically a baby, but he was eating real food at that point, and we fed him Manwich, and he had Manwich like all over his, and then he had it all over his hands, and then he went and put it in his hair, and he was covered. And I thought, you know what? The only thing I can do is I almost took him out in the yard and just hosed him. This is the only way I can get this kid.
There's a very good reason why everybody else calls Manwich what they call it. You know, for those of you in England, I don't know if in England you have this. But Manwich, we call them Sloppy Joes. And basically, if you've ever seen the Adam Sandler Lunch Lady Land, like from Saturday Night Live, Sloppy Joe is in that. Maybe you'll get an idea about it. So, yeah. All right. Yeah, we're big Manwich people over here as well. So, last question. This actually comes from Toffee Blues John. I have no idea why he wanted to know this, but it could be because it's late night over there in England from when he was sending me questions. But he said, okay, guys, it's midnight and you can have any snack you want. What are you having?
That's not liquid and alcohol form, huh?
Yes, that is. Yeah, that's true.
Any snack. I'm a big leftover pizza guy. If there's leftover, and I think that's the sports writer in me, because I was so used to for years coming home like late at night, and whatever was left over from the family dinner. Mm-hmm. So my favorite nights were when like a Friday night or Saturday night where they ordered pizza, because I knew when I came home there would be cold pizza in the refrigerator, and my favorite thing to do was to grab a beer and some cold pizza out of the refrigerator. So that was definitely my favorite late night snack.
Jeff, I am absolutely not copying you here, so I'll tell my story first. used to go downtown Winston-Salem and, you know, have the drinks with my friends. And right there in the heart of downtown Winston-Salem, or near one of the bars I used to frequent, was a place called Burke Street Pizza, which is one of the better pizza joints in Winston-Salem. So just spent a night having drinks, and then right before you go home, grab like a huge, you know, huge slice, you know, get one or two, cram them down, then you go home. You can have a couple more beers and then go to bed. so that's because
there you go. Yeah.
Because here's the thing, man. If I'm up at midnight nowadays, I am drinking. It's really the only way I'm up at midnight anymore. I'm not. Right. I don't stay up that late anymore. I just don't. I'm too old. I cannot. So if I'm up that late, I've been hanging out with my friends, and I need sustenance. So it's not like Doritos or anything, or yeah, give me a big old slice of pizza that I can fold over. Yes.
Good stuff.
Yes. All right. Who knew we'd give almost the same answer? All right. So I've been delaying this, putting this off long enough. Match preview away at West Ham. It has a very familiar face in there on their sideline. Let's just get this over with. Current form, fifth place in the Premier League. They're 17-7-10 with 58 points. Previous three, they recently beat Burnley 2-1, lost to Chelsea 1-0, lost to Newcastle 3-2. That's their three back. Possible starters. You could see Fabianski starting in goal. Kubal on the right. Dawson and Jupp in the middle. And Cresswell on the left. And then this Susek guy is kind of a badass. He'll probably be starting in the middle with Lanzini. And then Fornal on the right. Lingard in the middle, Benrahma on the left, and Antonio up top. Have you gotten to watch West Ham play that much, man?
I have only watched them in kind of bits and pieces. I haven't watched a full match this year. Obviously, I've read a lot about particularly what Lingard has been doing this season. David Moyes was my first Everton manager, so
technically mine too. So I'm with you on that. Yeah,
I mean affection for David Moyes. I really don't like West Ham. I have to be honest about that. And it's even more frustrating this year, kind of seeing kind of our progression, but the fact that they've been right up there with us, and now they're 6 points ahead. So yeah, it's been a little frustrating to see them doing what they're doing, but kudos to them and respect for David Moyes, who's accomplished what he has with that club. But they're not without talent. Do they have any injuries? Have they had any injuries really? I mean, I'm trying to think of, it seems like of their key players, they've been relatively clean in terms of injury. Cresswell, I mean, we know these guys well, and they've given us fits. Carlo's expecting, we're all expecting some sort of a response after last week, but it all depends on how is James. I'm guessing everyone else is in good shape, but how is James Rodriguez, and will he be available for this match? And will we see a response from some of the other players? The difficult thing is our opportunities probably have already been missed. Palace, the draw there, the loss last week. So a draw doesn't really do us any good, and that's really all I optimistically see us maybe getting out of this match. But you never know. But it's going to be difficult. It's a bad time to play them. But then again, we've had our opportunities to play teams that are behind us in the table, and we haven't taken advantage of them. So eventually your luck runs out in the fixture list, and now we're playing a team that's above us and a team that's been playing really well. So it's going to be, it's going to be very difficult, but
yeah,
we'll see what kind of response. I think I'm more interested in the response that I see from the club,
and then
we'll deal with what result we get. But I want to see a response from the club this week, because that'll say a lot about the impact that Carlo was having on them. The fact that he was displeased last week, and we'll see how they respond.
Yeah. I think starters, we could see, Pickford returning in goal. We mentioned earlier in the show, Godfrey, Keane, Mina, Luca Dean on that back line, Alan and Davies just in front of them. And then you're probably going to see either Hummus or Iwobi. That's probably going to be one or the other. Sigurdsson, Richarlison, DCL. It's usually not that simple. Carlo usually throws several wrenches in the gears just to mess with us. So it would be – I'd be really intrigued if he decides, oh, you know what? We're going to have Coleman on the right. We're going to put Godfrey on the left. We're going to move Luca Dean forward to if Hummus is out, just because we want – because he's done it before. You know what I mean? I don't think that'll happen, but it is the kind of weird thing that he'll – it is the weird, like, curveball that he'll throw sometimes.
Are we seeing Tom Davies? I think we're seeing Tom Davies, aren't we?
I think so. I mean, I think he starts, you know? I think if he doesn't start, that's maybe telling us a little bit of something about what Carlo thinks of his form right now. So.
Right.
Jeff, what's your prediction? And then I'll go into mine.
You know, I'm trying to think of if I'm optimistic, which for me, optimism would be we get a point out of this match. But I'm trying to think, well, if it's a point, how many goals are we looking at for either side? The pessimist to me says 3-1 West Ham. The optimist to me, maybe it's 1-1. I don't, it'd be hard to keep them out of goal, but Pickford's playing at a high level. If we kind of mix up the back line and mix up the pairings there, we'll see. So I'll go the optimistic. I'll say 1-1, and we get a point, which won't really do us any good in terms of the European chase, but maybe we can count that as a response.
I think I've lost my damn mind, Jeff, because it's an away match. It's at West Ham, which is, you know, everybody knows they're home field is the void where sound goes to die. And their fans won't be there. One of the things about Everton this season is they have been ridiculously inconsistent. We can't predict them. I feel like I'm going to pick a win on this one, man. Because every single time when we're supposed to win, we screw up. And when we're supposed to lose, we dazzle, or we find a way, or someone scores with their ass and we win. You know, it's the weirdest thing. I don't get it. I'm optimistic. I don't get it. It's just because this is such a weird team. This is such a weird group, and you never know what we're going to get. And so, I'm picking a win. I'm going to pick a weird win. I'm going to pick a 3-1 win. Yeah. I mean, no head injuries that I'm aware of.
Yeah. Well, you win at Spurs, you win at Anfield, you win at Arsenal. all in the same season. Why not a win? Which a win at West Ham any other year is not something you would consider to be unexpected.
Right.
You look at the run of form of the two clubs and you look at them being 6 points ahead, but you might be right. Maybe it's the perfect storm. Maybe you come out of it with a kind of more of a sloppy win like you got it that you got at the Emirates. Maybe you come out with something like that. But yeah, I hope you're right. I'm not comfortable being a pessimist because I'm typically not with Everton.
I know.
And you would think it's the nature of being an Evertonian that you are. Now I can be self-deprecating as any other blue I can be, you know, but typically I take the optimistic approach. I don't know why I'm kind of down after Villa. I'm kind of down after Villa, I think. So
yeah. Well, no. Hey, Villa, maybe I picked the Villa match. I was the pessimist. I picked a 1-1 draw. You know, and I felt really negative for picking it, but I picked it because I was like, we're inconsistent. I don't think we're going to do it. So now I've gotten to the point where I think, okay, are we supposed to win this one? Yes. No, we're not. Are we supposed to win this? No, no, we are going to make this happen. It's weird. I'm picking the opposite. It's very Seinfeld with Costanza, you know, I'm doing the opposite. You know, I'm just going to do it. Let's go with it. You know? It's just because honestly, I also feel like West Ham are also super inconsistent, you know? So,
right.
Okay. We'll see what happens. It's a weird one. It's going to be a weird game. So, I mean, that's the show, Jeff. We have run out of content. Is there anything you want?
We haven't run out of content. We could go all night, Jerry. We run out of time. We haven't run out of content.
Running out of cards is what I meant.
Oh, you're running out. Okay. Yeah. Once the cards are gone, everyone, the show's over.
Yeah, because I read exactly what's on the cards and nothing else.
Prompter is turned off. Jerry's like, I'm out.
I'm Jerry Gibson. The question mark at the end, like Anchorman.
Signing off.
So is there anything you feel that you need to plug at the end? You want to make sure we mention everybody?
No, I don't. I'm trying to think. No. Just excited for, you know, fans to get back to Goodison Park. I'm excited. When I see, you know, some friends on social media talking about getting on the ticket, you know, applying for their tickets and getting their opportunity to go back. It's an amazing feeling because I know how much it means to those fans, you know, to get back to Goodison Park and then not to look, you know, ahead to next year, but hopefully, because you know, these off seasons are so short in English football that we're not far away from a new season starting. And hopefully we are starting with Goodison Park full and that'll be it'll be incredible. Yeah. It'll be nice when you get that first few thousand in, and we did for what one match we had maybe 2,000 in and that was great to see. But you know, hopefully in August we see 40,000 back at Goodison and the old lady is roaring again and it's a fortress again and that'll be great. So there's so much to look forward to. I mean, you know, we talk about gloom and doom, but there's so much. This is such a great time to be an Evertonian.
It really is. You know, I mean, we're kind of limping to the finish line in this season. And that's kind of, there's my metaphor. But at the same time, I'm happy with the club right now. I am. Not every performance feels great, but at the same time, I see a lot of positives about the club. I'm with you on the positivity about the club for sure. Complete agreement on that. And it's all the way around. I mean, you're seeing more and more Evertonians connecting worldwide. So really good stuff, a lot of positive stuff happening. Jeff, thanks so much for being on, man.
Anytime, Jerry. It's always a lot of fun. always a lot of fun.
Good to talk to you. Have you been able to catch any of your season ticket with FC Cincinnati yet?
No, I'm going to miss the first match at the new stadium because I'm going to be out of the country. But I don't know how they're going to kind of divvy up tickets because they're only allowing roughly, I think, 6,000 or 7,000 in the stadium to start. So I applied for the second and the third matches. So maybe May 29th, maybe it'll be my first one. But we did the season ticket tour over the weekend and we're able to see our seats and kind of walk around. That stadium is incredible. It's magnificent. It's one of the premier American soccer stadiums in the country. It's
beautiful. I love it.
They need to fix the club. They just need to fix the club.
I feel like they put a ton of work into that roster in the offseason. And it doesn't hurt when you draft a nice little Wake Forest player to put up on the wing. Just saying.
Calvin Harris. Yeah. He's been good.
I got to watch him play a lot for Wake. So, yeah. Take care of that guy. All right. Well, very cool. Well, I'm going to go through my ending spiel here. If you're digging what you're seeing, please subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast and the Toffee Blues YouTube channel. We'd really appreciate it. If you and also please follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Heck, they probably have a TikTok now. Why not? I signed up for it. I feel like there's an age requirement on TikTok, and you're not allowed in after a certain time. So I. Like most of the videos,
it's probably good.
I shouldn't be there. It's just one of those things. Like you've accidentally wandered into the women's room. I have no business there. Just saying. Anyway, but it's probably a TikTok, so get on that. Why not? Check out the Toffee Blues website. There's some really cool content by some awesome Evertonians that I know and used to talk to when I was doing content with them on the other show, the Toffee Blues show, and when it wasn't at USA. They're cool guys. Check out what they've got, what they're saying. They know lots. And that's it. I got nothing else. I'm out. My card, I've read everything. So Jeff, thanks so much. It's good to see you. Please take care of yourself.
Anytime. Yeah, it's good to be on.
Okay, before you leave, where are you going?
Oh, we're going to Punta Cana a week from tomorrow. Dominican Republic.
Holy crap.
All-inclusive resort for just a long weekend, but yeah. Jeff, can't wait.
Have a daggone blast. That's going to be great. Much with the envy right now. Very cool. Enjoy yourself, buddy. Everybody be thinking of Jeff as he struggles on his wonderful vacation. Everybody else out there, let's get the Blues. We need a win. Let's do this. Everybody take care of yourself. 3 points, much love. And I got nothing else. No more cards. Bye.
Up the Toffees.